Blog Talk Radio.
They gon' hate us on cable.
Welcome to the war room. We got Dev,
yeah,
Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, the Hot Block Commander.
How you wanna end up on a 2-hour show and keep the brain running with the premise of talk sports on a national level? Roll with the topic, sort of like Terrell when it's game time. They like the Fab Five during prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine and sports veterans and greats, the 4 for 26 or the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with five knights at the round table, five Philly guys diversified and educated.
All right, what up, everybody? We are coming to you for the fifth time in the month of May 2012, and we'd like to welcome you back to your favorite roundtable. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports. I'm Devin McMillan, and alongside me are my partners, Jimmy Williams, Akil Bayon, Paul Johnson, and B. Austin, the Hot Block Commander. Today, we'll discuss the hot topics from the week, and of course, we'll be talking NBA Conference Finals. As usual, we want you guys to chime in during the show, so jump into the JW Philly Realty chat room right now at blogtalkradio.com/the War Room, or join us on Facebook or Twitter at War Room Sports. You can also call in and talk to us directly when we open up the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline at 323-410-0012. Before we get started, you know we got to shout out some of our partners in the biz, so make sure you check out Roy and Chris on the Broad Street Line every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio, and be sure to follow those guys on Twitter at the BS Line. They give you insider information on everything Philly, and they take you nationwide as well. Also, check out Brandon and Chris on Sports Trap Radio every Saturday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on ueradiolive.com. Follow those guys on Twitter as well at Sports Trap Radio. Check out our Chicago fam, Jeff, P. Coop, and Juana of Ranked Top 5 Sports Talk Radio every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on Blog Talk Radio. And finally, make sure you check out Shell, Kia, and the rest of the gang over on Hoop Girls Radio every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. If good sports talk is what you crave, make sure you check out the fam. It's not your usual old sports talk. Lastly, don't forget that in addition to our normal time, you can also catch our show, The War Room, on newvibradio.com every Friday at 7 a.m., 1 p.m., and 7 p.m. Eastern Time. So make sure you guys listen up. And right now, it's right about time for those birthdays.
My birthday! Yay!
Fellas, another week, another show. How y'all feeling this evening?
Feeling fired up.
What's wrong with the Little League football chants?
How y'all feel?
Fired up. What's right, that number one? What's that number one? Say it.
Breakdown. All right, so the first birthday this evening is, oh, I'm sorry, before I get to that, I got to tell you guys that birthdays brought to you by Days of Beauty Hair Salon. That's at 9221 Oxon Hill Road in Fort Washington, Maryland. You can call 301-839-4472, ask for Lisa, get your wig split. It's a great place to be. All right, so the first birthday this evening is one Mr. Jordy Ray Nelson. Jordy Nelson turns 27 today. Jimmy, what do you think of when you think of Jordy Nelson?
Jordy Nelson is an Anglo-Saxon male, in the words of Dr. Bayon, who is a hell of a wide receiver. I mean, he's a tough competitor, very fiery guy, and he has speed. And I honestly believe, actually, he said it, so it's not like me making this up, that he gets over a lot of times because of the fact that he's an Anglo-Saxon male. People don't take him as serious as they would a receiver if he was African-American, and he blows right by him. But he's a talented wide receiver.
So he's saying he gets underestimated because he's a white guy? Is that what he's saying?
But absolutely.
All right, I hear that. Kill, what do you think of when you think of Jordy Nelson?
When I think of Jordy Nelson, similar to Blueprint said, and I think he's a product of double reverse discrimination because, like, they discriminate on him because, you know, he's like, he's a white receiver and you're not supposed to be fast. So they're like, man, get out of here. And then they just said, you know what, dude's not going to get biased. So then he just cooks and scorches cats left and right. And like James alluded to, he said that himself, that he feels as though the 100% of African-American defensive backs underestimate his ability.
Yeah, I mean, he's a part of that high-octane, spread-it-around Green Bay Packers offense with, you know, Aaron Rodgers back there just throwing darts. So, you know, Jordy, he is pretty tough. I don't want to take anything away from him, but I wonder myself sometimes how tough he would be without Aaron Rodgers back there doing the things that he's doing. But, hey, he's showing and proving. So, like I said, there's nothing that you could take away from Jordy. So, happy birthday to Jordy. Our next birthday is one Mr. Matthew Joseph Harpering. Kill, what do you think of...
My birthday, yay!
When you think of the 36-year-old today, Matt Harpering.
Well, one thing that people don't know about Matt Harpering is that he's like a three-sport athlete. If I'm not mistaken, he played football at Georgia Tech and was thinking about going pro, and he was a heck of a baseball player. And also, for some reason, thinking about Matt Harpering, who's a tough, hard-nosed player, like the issue of the kid cutting Matt Bonner into his head, like, came up for some reason. Like, I had, like, a Matt Bonner flashback. But Matt Harpering, and he was tough when he played for the Sixers. So, there you go.
Yeah. He wasn't a big enough star to play with Allen Iverson. He was a perfect complement. He just could have been a little better, but he was tough. He probably should have been the third option instead of the second option on the Sixers team, and they would have been, you know, much better. But yeah, I think the whole two and three sport thing, I think that runs in his family, but I think his family is mainly like a football family. So to see Matt in the NBA, and when he was in the NBA, you know, you could tell that he played a rougher sport than basketball in the regular, because he was just that scrappy, tough-nosed player. And there goes that word association again. Jimmy, what do you think of? What do you think of Matt Harpering?
You took the words out of my mouth. I was actually going to say he's a scrappy, tough-nosed player. I remember him in Utah as well, and you know, he fit the mold playing that tough guy in Utah. He was a first-round draft pick. I remember that as well. I think that was the Orlando Magic that drafted.
Yeah, he played with Orlando, Philly,
yeah,
Utah.
Yeah, Orlando drafted him, and I also remember him in Cleveland and Utah. So, but he actually had a 12-year career, so he had a nice little career, you know. I got a nice little pension now, so shout out to Matt Harpering on his birthday.
All right, cool. All right, so our next birthday today is one Mr. Nathaniel Cornelius Robinson, better known to you people as Nate Robinson. He turns 28 today. Jimmy.
My birthday, yay!
What do you think of when you think of one Nate Robinson?
Nate Robinson, you know, plays point guard in the NBA. When I think of him, honestly, the first thing I think of is how he won a couple dunk contests he shouldn't have won just because of his height. But with that being said, his accomplishments are amazing considering his size. He's only like 5'8", 5'9". And he was a first-round draft pick. But he also was a football player. I mean, you know, so he's a great athlete. But he's a three-time slam dunk champion. To me, that's what I think of and how it was questionable. Man, he grabbed my man Iggy. Anyway.
Yeah, he was a corner at Washington in college. But, yeah, that dunk contest, man, that whole thing was deplorable, man. It took dude like 22 tries to get the dunk down. I'm not a fan of that format of the dunk contest because after you miss the dunk once or twice, I already know what you're going to do. So even if you got it down on a third or fourth try, I'm not really feeling it as much, even though it might be an amazing dunk. You know what I'm saying? You already tried it. But to do it like 22 times after what Iggy did right before that, you're going to tell me he really earned that dunk contest? You know what they were doing. They were on the anniversary of Spud Webb's win, and you got another, you know, below 6 foot guy in the contest. That was corny, man. Kill, what do you think of when you think of Nate Robinson?
Yeah, everything you guys said, and the fact that did he finish the season on an NBA roster this year? I don't think he finished on an NBA roster.
He did finish? He was on one.
Yeah, he was on one.
That's a good question. Huh?
I know he got traded, and then, like, he was, if I'm not mistaken, he might have been let go. Or was he on Golden State? Yeah, you know what?
He finished season with Golden State. He played 51 games for him.
You're right. He did finish with Golden State. But he
made, like, $4.5 million.
For real. What's interesting is the year the Celtics won the title, I think he was very instrumental to them winning the title because there were games, mostly in the Eastern Conference Finals, that could have went either way. And, you know, with Rondo, you know, he can't shoot. So he teams would back up
on
him.
Oh, I don't know about that no more, Kill.
Well, hold up. He couldn't shoot. And teams would back up off him. And then Nate Robinson would come in, and now you can't play up on Nate because he'll go right by you, and you can't play off him because he will hit the three in your face, and then he'll do it, jumping up all around and jumping on Big Baby's back and all that stuff. But, yeah, he's a solid player, but I guess he just needs to be in the right system. And also his celebrations may have cost him some playing time and some teams because people just don't like the way he celebrates too much. So,
yeah, you know, very talented for a 5'9" player, but he is a corny dude. But that's nothing new in the NBA. It's full of corny dudes. The last birthday for today is one Mr. Joseph William. You might know him as Joe Willie. Or you might know him as Broadway Joe. One Joe Namath turned 69 today.
My birthday, yay!
Kill, what do you think of when you think of Joe Namath?
I think of Joe Namath. The sad thing is I think of him being drunk on TV.
I want to kiss you, Susie.
Yeah, talking to the lady. And then also I think of him and Rex Ryan getting into it, and Rex Ryan saying, hey, you know, we'll give Joe a uniform. He can suit up for us. And then third, I think of him, you know, predicting the Super Bowl win. And then fourth, I remember how horrible his stats were. I know it was a different time and age, but his stats were, like, horrible. But that one game got him to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I think that whole, you know, promising to beat the Colts, and the Colts were the big dogs in the league at that time, and they came through on the promise. And the fact that he had a whole lot of talent and a lot of people were kind of mesmerized by his talent and didn't really look much at the, you know, at the results a lot of times. I really think Joe Namath was
overrated.
Austin, what do you think of when you think of Joe Willie Namath?
Yo, this is like being in a cipher with a lot of great MCs. If you don't go first, man, you got to get your verse together. I had all of the above with Kill, and then I was going to give him the overrated from the crowd. I mean, he's Drunken Joe, the overrated Namath. And New Yorkers, yes, overrated.
Jimmy, what do you got on Broadway Joe?
Yo, when I think of Joe Namath, I have to agree with everybody with the sentiment that he is overrated. He's one of the most overrated athletes of our period in the history of the world, Craig. But even beyond that, though, one thing I do want to say about Joe Namath that's positive is he was one of the toughest athletes ever because he took a beating, especially towards the end of his career, and he kept trying to come back out there and play. And when I watch some of these quarterbacks now who, you know, be spitting up on the field, throwing the ball in the dirt. You know what I mean? Like, so I do give him credit for being a tough player, although he is a bit overrated when you look at his accomplishments, but he was definitely a tough competitor.
Yeah, not even his accomplishment, because he accomplished the ultimate goal, but just his production. Matter of fact, I got his numbers right here. For his 12-year career, well, actually 13-year career, if you want to count the Rams as a career, he played like 4 games for the Rams.
Yeah.
But in his career, he threw for 27,663 yards. His completions, 1,886. His attempts, 3,762 for a 50.1 completion percentage. He threw 173 touchdowns versus 220 interceptions. And his quarterback rating was a 65.5. Now, if you look at those numbers, because there's a lot of people out there who think sports are all about stats, you know, but when it, you know, but when it comes to their favorites and you point out things like that, you know, then they change it up and want to base their merits on different things. But if you just put his numbers out there and didn't tell somebody who it was, you think this was just some bum quarterback or some average quarterback in the league who just got by for 12 years. You think he might be Trent Dilfer. He has the resume of a Trent Dilfer. Now, I'm not I'm not saying those are Trent Dilfer's numbers, but the fact that I'm sure that Trent Dilfer threw more interceptions and touchdowns, but he won a Super Bowl, and he doesn't get half the props that Joe Namath gets. So
I think that this is really grounds for an intellectual black protectionist to hold the flag up for y'all boy to get in the Hall, because Joe Namath doesn't deserve to be in the Hall. They're going to say, well, look at Joe's numbers. Look at Joe Willie's numbers.
Yeah. But you know how we judge that. Because if it were up to us, a whole lot of people in the Hall of Fame in every sport would be taken out of the Hall of Fame. So we try not to base it on who's already in there, because they drop the ball on who's in the Hall of Fame already anyway. So.
But you know what, though? The one argument I'll make, just to see if we're pooping on them, we kind of are, and I don't mind pooping on him. But I guess it's all relative when you think about the times that he played and the amount of passing that was done. I do still believe he's overrated. But his toughness and his impact on the game in terms of the AFL and the NFL merging, him being pretty much the first star of pro football, you know, he did have an impact. So I don't know whether the NFL Hall of Fame is based upon just your production or, you know, what you bring to the game. You know what I mean? Like, he had an impact on the game.
You have to be 100% right, Jim, because if not for impact, what the hell else would he be in there for?
I mean, you know, I guess for his fluky numbers. Because we look at his numbers now, and it's like, yo, they're poo-poo. I don't know where they were at the time that he played. You know what I mean? Like, I would have to do some research and see, at the time when he finished, where was everybody else who was considered a Hall of Famer or the other elite quarterback?
Yo, Trent Dilfer has a higher completion percentage of 55.5, less yards at 20,518. He has 113 touchdowns to 129 interceptions, and he has a quarterback rating of 70.2, which is
I'm talking about, like,
an impact as a Joe Namath.
But sometimes, like today, if you look at, let's take baseball, for example. Some of the numbers being put up by average players now, like, they poop all on Hall of Fame players, but it's all relative considering how pitching has changed, the game has changed, and what was going on at that time. So I would have to do more
I was going to say, there's two numbers that you can look at that kind of transcend era, and that's completion percentage and QB rating. Not completely, but – listen, if you have a good completion rating and you have a good quarterback rating, you were a good quarterback no matter how many or decent.
What's considered a good rating and a good completion percentage, that also has changed over time with the amount of passes being thrown and how the game has changed. So you really can't compare, like, say, a Joe Namath to somebody throwing the ball today, because it's not apples. I mean, look at now. You have guys like the Jabroni in Detroit. What's his name? He's putting up, like, numbers that, like, surpass a lot of Hall of Fame quarterbacks. And
right. But that's strictly for the volume of passing in today's game. But I think you're throwing 50% completion percentage, you're just not that good in any era. That's just my opinion, though.
But, I mean, you have to see what was considered good in that time. You know what I mean?
Hey, let's take it back to Otto Graham. Otto Graham played from 46 to 55, and his completion percentage was 56%, and his rating was 86.6. And he had years of rating of 109, 99, and his TD to touchdown was It was TD 174 touchdowns and 135 interceptions. So that's one guy from his era who's also considered a great.
Well, was that his era? Is that before his time?
Yeah, that was before his time.
That's what I'm saying. That's before his time.
46 to 55. I mean, I would think it'd be harder, because I know now, like, you look at a guy like, well, some quarterbacks playing the dink and dunk system that gets their percentage up. Offensive coordinators are way ahead now in terms of the timing routes, so guys are going to have higher percentages now. But if we take another guy, who else playing with him? Unitas?
Johnny Unitas. Unitas was 54.6%. But his quarterback rating was 78.2. So, I mean, yeah, his whole thing, point. Like, Jimmy could have a point with the completion percentage, but there's never an excuse to throw 173 touchdowns versus 220 interceptions. There's never an excuse for that. But, yo, we spent a lot of time on this dude's birthday. So Jimmy's going to let everybody know what happened this week while y'all were on the grind. And I don't really know how he's going to do that because Jimmy was in Bermuda all week. So go ahead, dude.
I keep up on my sports, though, no matter where I'm at. You know what I'm saying? The earth is my turf. With that being said, While You Were on the Grind is brought to you by PhillyAutoDesign.com. You want to get your wheel right? Go to PhillyAutoDesign.com or go to WarRoomSports.com and look for the Philly Auto icon on our homepage. Because, you know, it's about to get hot. The summer's coming out. Some of y'all need to, you know, get your car together. But with that being said, let's jump right into these topics. Dennis Rodman has been sentenced to 104 hours of community service for failing to pay child support. Gentlemen, what's your thoughts on the story of Rodman still in trouble, but this time it's child support?
I just hope he didn't cry.
I have a question, like, how does Dennis Rodman make his money now? Even though when you played in the NBA and you made millions of dollars, that shouldn't have to be a question. If, you know, you made millions of dollars, you made these children, you know, you should be able to take care of them. But the fact that we know he's having money problems and he doesn't have his NBA money anymore, what does he do for money? Does anybody know?
I guess he has a pension. I know he's got a pension.
Because he put in 3 years in total.
Apparently,
he's old.
Drag,
is he
like
old
that.
Enough? Is he old enough to get the pension?
I don't know how the NBA pensions work. Like whether there's an age factor with the NBA pensions, considering they don't have a normal career.
There's an age and there's a number. It's in your 50s. I'm sure of it.
He's 51.
You can't get your pension.
Okay.
He's 51 years old,
fact,
so I'm not sure what this.
I just looked it up. You actually start collecting at 50.
Oh, so he just started collecting his pension. Yeah, I mean, it's a crazy thing because they said he still faces additional contempt charges, and they're accusing him of owing back child support that exceeds $800,000. So
wow.
I don't think his pension is going to take care of that.
Hey, Dev, I found something. It says a player can start to collect the pension at the age of 45, but only two-thirds of that would be at 50. So most can collect at age 50. And let's say, I see Gary Payton as an example, similar to Rodman, 17 NBA seasons, which is 204 months. So his pension would be about $62,000 per year or $5,000
a month. I don't know how true that is. I saw that on Wiki Answers, but I don't know how true that is because that sounds kind of low. Because I think that your pension based in NBA is how much you pay into it. And you pay into it while you're playing. And the more you make, the more you pay into it. And Gary Payton has some huge contracts. So that doesn't sound right. I'm not saying it's wrong. But I was reading the same thing you were reading.
Okay.
So, you know, I just have to do more research to figure out how that actually works. But with that being said, regardless of what Rodman is getting, he owes a lot of dough in child support. So I don't know how he can live and pay that.
Actually, and you know what? That says I found another one that says the pro athlete pension plan. The maximum benefit for any player is
$195,000. I'm reading that too. it takes 11 years of service to qualify for this benefit. So that means if you played over 11 years, you would get about close to $200,000.
All I know is they owe Wilt. They owe my man Wilt about $2 million a year for what he did for the game, if he even existed.
But we're getting off track. To go back to Dennis Rodman, thing.
Yo, do you know how much, like, it used to be $50,000 a month in child support he was paying. That amount has since been reduced to $4,500 a month. So, I mean, his ex-wife is definitely working with him in his income situation. And she does say that he's current on that, on the $4,500 a month. But, you know, he owes a lot of back child support, so that's what this case was all about.
Yeah.
Yo,
yeah.
What is she hoping to accomplish with the back child support collection? I mean, is that just a come up for her or?
I mean, if you owe it, I mean, you're not going to just, like, chalk it up if it's owed to you. Even though I'm pretty sure, you know, she's done right by the kids and raised the kids the best that she could with what she got. If somebody owed you $800,000, I don't think you're just going to chalk it up.
Not that I
even condone those astronomical, you know, child support rates. It's crazy. It doesn't take that much money to raise any child, but
yeah,
if it's owed to you, you're not just going to chalk it up.
Real quick, shout out
in the gym. He was rebounding in the gym.
Real quick, shout out to Danny Gray. He's on Facebook listening. Danny Gray of DigiDanSolutions.com. But he said Rodman had to make money on the rehab show. So Rodman, like, you know, he had a little TV career after the fact, playing a lot of those horrible shows, because he was also on The Apprentice too, I believe. And Rodman was charging a pretty penny to be on some of those shows. I remember that's the reason why a lot of the shows kicked him off, because of what he was asking. But who knows how much money he had stored away, because Dennis Rodman had a long career and made some money, but he also spent a lot of that money.
He's also an
alcoholic. I don't know how he can rebound. Yeah, he's also an alcoholic, a drug addict, so who knows what's going to happen with him. But let's move on to another story.
Jimmy said, I don't know how he can rebound from that. Well, May, the greatest rebounder
of all time. Yo, I'm nice. I want to see if somebody would catch that. Yo, my word play is sick. Anyway, listen to this story right here. A Michigan commit burns his Ohio State mail and tweets a pic of it. athletes on Twitter, right? So what do you guys think about the story?
I was wrong about that. The dude name is Logan Tully Tillman. And he's a 6'7" tackle. He was one of the ESPN's 150 prospects, and he was ranked like the 9th best offensive tackle in the nation. I mean, y'all know how that Ohio State Michigan rivalry gets crazy. But I'm like, dude, you're not even a part of the rivalry yet, and you're just a commit. He hasn't even signed. You know, what if something happens? You know, this is probably way far fetched, but what if something happens? You know, he might get a little injury or something, and all the schools that wanted him, especially Michigan, drops off. Like, yo, I don't trust the dude because of the injury. And Ohio State is still the only ones messing with you. Like, how stupid would you feel if you tweet and pick burning their mail?
I guess the way he's looking at it is the fact that he's endearing himself to the whole Michigan crowd, because they probably love this nonsense. Because their rivalry, I watched a documentary on their rivalry, and it's, like, ridiculous. It's, like, some of the stuff that goes on, it's just juvenile, but, you know, that's what it is.
You know, he's getting a whole lot of hate mail, hate tweets from Ohio State Nation. And he's he sounds like he's being kind of sensitive about it. But what did you expect? You tweeted a pic of yourself burning an Ohio State envelope. Like, take what comes along with it. Like, don't do it and then be bitching when everybody's complaining, you know, and calling you names that you've never been called before.
Yeah.
Just take it. What if they put, like, a bounty out on them and, like, yo, we're going to kill dude during the game?
It's possible, because Greg Williams might have to coach in college, so if he gets that job at Ohio State, watch your back.
Low blow. Yeah, but, I mean, it's just ridiculous. Who knows if anything bad will happen, like, with the story, but I guarantee you that a lot of the Michigan alumni and Michigan fans probably, like, you know, love this nonsense. Anyway, let's move on to another story. The Miami Dolphins is set to be on HBO's Hard Knocks, the reality show. Do you guys think this was a good choice? Do you even care about the Miami Dolphins? And who do you want to see on the Dolphins that will make that show interesting?
Errol.
Matt Moore.
That's a good question. Reggie's not with Kim anymore, so, you know, nobody cares about what he's doing. I mean, they may have a little interest. I mean, they don't have any star power. I mean, this team has tried to find some big-name players over the years, and even though they're in a market like Miami, they just can't get people to come down there and play. They may have an interesting quarterback saga with Matt Moore, Ryan Tannehill, the rookie, and David Garrard maybe battling for the starting spot, but I don't think that's anything anybody wants to tune into every week to see. I know I don't. They can just tell me what's happening. I'll be cool with that. But y'all know the Jets, who seem like they wanted this, they turned it down, supposedly, and Atlanta Falcons also turned it down. So the Dolphins were like just the last hope. I think they were either going to do this or not run a show, period. So how do you feel being the last resort?
You know, it's funny because
Without star power, it's almost like they're, you know, this is a kind of a gimmick. And at a certain point, I'm not going to say all reality TV is gimmick. Well, yes, I am. It's all a gimmick, so it's kind of run its course. And how I don't think the audience is that interested, and now you got teams turning it down. So,
but
you know what though? Also, you know what might be their bigger play on this?
It's a little different.
Their bigger play might be the fact, like I just said, they can't really get any good big name free agents to come there, and they got a new coach. Maybe they're figuring.
I see where you're going with it.
Yeah, maybe they're figuring
if we can show
a good enough atmosphere down here, maybe some players might want to come play. Yeah, that's just my opinion.
I also think that when it comes to sports and reality TV, it's a little different than every other reality show because, you know, sports are the ultimate drama. So it's going out the playoff field. And with that being said, a lot of times when you watch these reality shows when it comes to sports, it endears you to certain people or players. So you may have people who watch this and become a fan of certain people on the Dolphins, although they have no clue who they are now. So when you get to see their personalities and things play out, and then you know they're going to probably bring LeBron by and bring D-Wade by and show the light thing in Miami. And, you know, it's like a big commercial for the Miami Dolphins.
They're going to play matchmaker. They're going to try to get Kim back with the dude. She makes an appearance on the show, and the show is a hit. Bottom line.
Bottom line.
Anyway, next story. I'm really anxious to see what you guys think about this. Sean P. Diddy Puffy Combs, his son Justin, earned a scholarship to play at UCLA. He had a high GPA. He's good academically as well. 3.75, that is. And he won, you know, a scholarship to play at UCLA. And some people now, as well as some students, want him to give it back and think that the scholarship should be given to more needy students because he technically doesn't need the money to go to a state school on scholarship because his father is Diddy. And
let
people are falling on both sides of this argument. So I want to see what you guys
Let me wait. Let me take this one first, fellas.
Let me say,
first of all, people need to understand that he's not being given any money. When you have an athletic scholarship, it's a tuition waiver, essentially. So they're waiving his tuition. Number two, he earned it. It's not like, you know what I'm saying? They're assessing his talent, his athletic ability, his play at the high school level, saying we want this play. He's earned it. Now, would it be noble for his pop to go ahead and match that scholarship and send somebody else to school? Sure. Sure it would be. Sure. But the reality is, I don't have a problem with it, and I don't think a lot of folks understand how athletic scholarships work. So it's not like they're cutting him a check and saying, here, take this $200,000 and pay for all 4 years. Nah. It's a tuition waiver, and they have the right to do that. So bully for him. Congrats on a great Congrats on a great high school career, homie. Hope to see you, you know, make the league. And people shouldn't penalize this dude for the system. If you're going to have a problem with anybody, it should be the university. It should be the school. It shouldn't be Diddy, and it shouldn't be Justin.
Yeah, but why even have a problem with the school? The school has 285 scholarships to give out athletically. My man earned, as a student athlete, 3.75 GPA while playing cornerback for the football team. He earned this scholarship. What his father does shouldn't even matter. You know what I'm saying? Because in the bigger scheme of things, his dad's rich. He's not rich. Not yet. But I don't know. I mean, you can look at this, you know, a lot of ways, and I just don't see where the uproar is, because whether or not he got a scholarship it's not like if they take his scholarship from him, they can give it to someone else. You only got X amount of spots on the football team. So if he doesn't get a scholarship, it's not like he's not going to be on the football team. So what's the big deal of him being able to get what he earned just because of who his dad is?
And another thing real quick, and I want to hear Dr. Bayon's opinion on this as well as yours, Jimmy. But when you look at this, this smells to me of certain ethnic segments of the population being caught up in the handout syndrome. I'm going to go here with it. Civil rights was about earning an opportunity to compete. This dude competed and earned the opportunity, not a handout. Why is everybody always looking to be put in a position to get a handout? Dude earned his right.
While it could be, you know, some overtones of that, I'm not even going to play that card because we don't really know the demographics of everybody who's complaining about this, because there could be black students and black parents complaining just as well. Like, why did he get a scholarship? He's rich.
I'm saying it is black parents and black students complaining because they're looking at it as if it should be a handout, as opposed to understanding that it's the opportunity to compete. He earned it.
Well, here's my thing. I remember Denzel had this situation when his son won a scholarship, was awarded a scholarship, and Denzel tried to deny the scholarship and said he would pay for his son to go, and the school told Denzel, listen, this is not your scholarship, this is your son, and he earned it. They refused to let him pay. And, you know, Kevin Lang on Twitter, shout out to Kevin at Skyview Kevin, he says that Walter Payton's son, Ken Norton's, Tony Dorsett, Don Shula's, Mike Dunleavy, all of their sons had scholarships to play collegiate sports. So, I mean, part of it is probably because it's Diddy and he's so flamboyant and he acts, you know, he's
right.
Diddy. So that's a big part of it.
I mean, even with the guys you named, Diddy is a different level of rich. Diddy is worth over $500 million. I mean, I'm not saying that should matter in the larger scheme of things. If you got money to pay for school, you got money. But he earned it.
Yeah, those guys I've named, they could have paid for their sons to earn, but their sons to go to school, but their sons earned the right to a scholarship. This story, it kind of bothers me. It's like, you know, I mean, this guy has a good GPA. He seems to be a good student. He seems to have his head on his shoulders. And, you know, some of our people, so you know what I'm saying, are like slamming, like, there's more needy students out there. We're taught them to step their football and their education game up. Then. I mean, this guy earned it.
Yeah, because if you look at his grades as far and his play, he's the epitome of a student athlete. Now, everybody who's sitting around complaining, you know, about this whole student athlete and the definition of it, you know, what it should be, I mean, he's the epitome of it, and he earned the right to get this scholarship. I don't really think it has anything to do with who his dad is. And no, I don't think, you know, to justify this, I don't think Puffy has to give UCLA a dime.
Go ahead, Dante, you're an education guy.
Yeah, I was going to say, what people fail to forget is if Puffy or Diddy, Sean Combs, whatever you want to call him, if he puts the bill for his son's education, what happens if him and his son get into an argument? Then all of a sudden he wants to cut him off. Then he has to withdraw from school. But under this circumstance, as you guys alluded to earlier, the school is giving Justin a scholarship, not Diddy. So no matter what happens, he can go home and curse his dad out, beat him up, whatever, slander him on the internet. He will still be able to play college football at UCLA. So,
right. Yeah, good point. Again, man, with me, I just get upset with the current trend in society to just take the easy road and look for a handout, look for the easiest way. Man, going through earning something and going through competition makes you a better human being. And this dude earned that scholarship, man. We need to stop looking to beg for handouts, man. The struggle was to earn the right to compete. At one point we didn't have the opportunity to compete. Give me the opportunity to compete.
Well,
I don't want a super team.
Yo, you took that a whole nother place. Yeah, man. In the words of Jeff from Ranked Top 5, his whole soul on this is, man, leave that boy alone. So let's leave it at that. Last story I want to talk about. There's some good stories you've been going over, but T.O. has been cut from his IFL team and his ownership stake revoked. Can it get any worse for T.O.? P.J.'s cousin. T.O. has been cut. You heard me from his IFL team. What are you guys' thoughts on T.O. on how far?
What you got to say about your cousin, P.J., man?
I'm still trying to put the words together to express my feeling. Yo, they doing my man dirty, man. All my cousin T.O. want to do is catch a touchdown, do a touchdown dance, and beef with a quarterback. That's all he want to do. My man is one of the hardest working football players ever. He got mental issues going on. It's unfortunate, though. Seriously, it's unfortunate to see T.O. go out like that, because, like, you're looking at a guy who a lot of people consider, like, the second or third best receiver to ever play the game. And now he can't even stay on a hardwood 30-foot-long indoor football team.
Yo,
like,
not just that, PJ. He owns some of the team.
And he owns it. They done revoked everything. And that's the problem with
him. You own.
So his attitude and his issues mentally off the field have always I think that's what's killing him. Because his work ethic, I'm sure he could get on a team. But
look, the dude, the owner's site, he said he cited T.O.'s refusal to play in two upcoming road games that are critical to their playoff chances. Now, this is one thing that you could try to argue for in T.O.'s defense. They told him a part of his contract was the fact that he did not have to play in all of the road games. I think it's the fact that, you know, these two games, they're deeming these games more important. So now they're taking back, you know, what they told him he could and could not do in the contract. They said you could take off some road games. They didn't say which ones. But now that the season is getting down the stretch and he might have, you know, saved his off days for some later games, they're not liking that because they know they need him to make a good, strong playoff push. So, I don't know.
Right.
It might not be totally T.O.'s fault, but Jimmy, you
know,
you were reading up on some other stuff that they said he did, too.
Yeah,
right?
I said it was about
appearances.
Him missing, like, appearances and some kind
at the
of
hospital.
Like, charity events.
Yeah,
and, you know, they were, like, marketing this. T.O. will be here. So it was a big thing. Kids were waiting to meet T.O. and he don't show up because, you know, he's dealing with his female problems with Dr. Phil, so he ain't got time to show up for the kids.
He probably didn't show up because he didn't want a little boy that's like 8 years old and smart in the mouth to say, well, you ain't in the NFL.
Or he might say, you're my daddy. Either or. But
Wowzers.
You know, I'm a staunch T.O. supporter, much like the brother PJ. I don't claim him in my family. That's reserved for Ray and Doc. But I'm reminded of a mantra. Do not allow your ego to kill your opportunities, man. Mm-hmm. That's all I can think of.
Mm-hmm. I mean, but can his ego be killing it? The dude played for an indoor football league team called the Wranglers.
No. I'm looking
sound
bigger.
Like he
I'm looking
his
bigger.
Ego at the door a
I'm
long
looking.
Time
no,
ago.
I'm looking bigger picture though, Deb. Because based on what I saw him do for Cincinnati, he shouldn't ever be out of the league. T.O. is good enough coming off of Cincinnati to write his own ticket and retire when he felt like retiring.
Right.
But his,
I mean, you know, he's definitely.
This is what these young guys coming up have to learn that. No, see, it used to be a time where no matter how talented you were, nothing else mattered. And those days are gone. People are tired of putting up with the nonsense. So you can be one of the top five at your position, possibly or arguably, and not even be in the league. People are tired of this nonsense. I mean, if you look at AI, there's 200 people in the AI is better than.
You know what it comes down to, Jimmy?
It comes down to these jiggers acting like coons. I'm sorry, go ahead.
These rich owners are like, yo, I'm not going to reach into my pocket or reach into my checkbook and write a check for somebody that I don't like, period.
Damn, the recession.
I'm here to tell you, Nino Brown says your services are no longer needed in the community.
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, Leroy said it in our chat room. T.O. is blackballed, AI is blackballed, and if some of these jiggers don't get their act together, they'll be blackballed as well. I mean, it comes a time where these dudes have to, like, you know, grow up and be men and you know, act a certain way. I understand that most people, some of us love them for being rebels, or so to speak. But, you know, come on, man.
Unfortunately, there's a line that's been drawn in the sand, man. Like, if we had somebody here at War Room Sports that we just couldn't stand as a human being, like, we're not going to want to go into the checkbook every week, you know, and pay this person. You got to draw a line somewhere, and I think these dudes have had that line drawn. So it's over.
Yeah.
At least to put together a decent career, man. It's just over for him
at this point. Hall of Fame is calling. It's waiting.
Yeah.
No doubt. You know he's going to have, like, a powerful, world-touching Hall of Fame speech.
I know he's going to cry.
Yeah, he's going to cry at the door. He's going to start off
crying. The sad thing is, he's, like, in super-duper shape for, like, no reason.
He's walking around in a premier shape.
Yeah, he's taking shape for no reason. Like,
right now, I'm going to go out on a limb and say right now, T.O. is a top 20 receiver in the NFL.
You're probably right, but what I'm saying is that just goes to show you that those days, no matter how good you are, we'll make excuses.
Right.
Plays are over, man. You have to conduct yourself in a certain way.
But Theo has obliterated teams that he's been with. Like, it's not just been a little riff here. He's separated locker rooms. So for what you're getting from him at this stage of his
career, it's not worth it. Yeah.
It's not worth it. You know, the ends don't justify the means of bringing him on your team. Like, he's not going to change his team that much.
Year two, he's always ticking time bomb.
Quick had a conspiracy to not get him the ball.
What you say? Say this again.
He said Tony Romo and Jason Witten had a conspiracy.
Even after my man cried up at the podium for Tony Romo, he thought that. Even though he said that after he cried, I think. Because he cried after, I think, his first season with them. And then next year it was conspiracy.
I guess he was trying to make up with the ball. After he said the conspiracy thing, he came out, like, defending him, trying to, like, I guess, get back in his good graces. But these days, man, you have to just, like, look at, we were talking about this yesterday, me and Deb were talking about Rondo. And Rondo is one of the most dominant players in basketball, but the Celtics have been trying to trade him for, like, 3 years now.
He got an attitude problem. He definitely got a little attitude.
He bougie.
But I'm saying he has to be such a slime ball for them to want to get rid of him with the production that he had.
Damn. I'm a slime ball.
I'm tired of this, man, and I'm tired of it, too, so. Let me get off my soapbox, man, because I'm tired of it as well, man.
You're like a dub behind. PJ, so, PJ, you want to tell everybody how they can get in touch with
you? Everybody get in touch with us, man. Let me cool off.
Yeah, man. Well, we cool down over here. Y'all can start off by checking out our website. It's warroomsports.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the War Report. That's our weekly newsletter. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message to us about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. For general inquiries, you can email us at info@warroomsports.com. While you're browsing our site, click on the memorabilia tab to buy War Room Sports merchandise, then click the blog tab to read our latest sports articles in the All's Fair in Sports and War blog. Then click the respective icons to like our Facebook page, to follow us on Twitter, to subscribe to our iTunes podcast, and to download our free War Room Sports mobile app on your Android or Apple devices. Watch our videos at warroomsportstv.com, and you can join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom. To get into the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to create an account, you can sign in through your Facebook or Twitter accounts, and while you're at it, click follow to make the War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows and to get updates and reminders about the show. Now, we'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show. To call in and speak with the host, just dial the Digital Extreme Tech hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. Pressing 1 is just like raising your hand. So raise your hand, and we just might call on you. Holla.
Oh, yeah. All right, so before, you know, I got some more stuff I want to talk about with you fellas, but before we do that, got to let everybody know that our hot topics tonight are brought to you by Audible. Is your schedule too hectic to read as much as you want? Well, try audiobooks and kick back and let someone else do the reading for you. All you got to do is visit Audible and sign up for your free trial at audibletrial.com/warroomsports. In no time, you can be listening to the latest bestsellers hands-free, stress-free, while getting other things done at the very same time. I just watched Jimmy do it for a week. Dude, just be walking around listening to books. No matter where he is.
it's a beautiful thing, you know. He's doing other stuff, busting the grub, whatever, just listening to him.
Yeah, that's how you do it. That's how you
college football for a minute. Steve Spurrier, he's again advocating that he thinks, not even that he thinks, he wants college athletes to be paid a higher stipend, because I don't know if you guys knew, but the NCAA, they are mulling over giving a $2,000 stipend to the athletes. Steve Spurrier says he thinks it should be more like $3,500 to $4,000, and, you know, it should be limited to athletes in revenue-making sports such as football and college basketball. What do you think? I mean, he said, we as coaches believe they're entitled to a little more than room, books, board, and tuition. And then he said, we as coaches will be willing to pay it if they were to approve it. Now, I don't know how he's speaking for the whole contingency of NCAA schools, but he's thinking they should get about $3,500 to $4,000. What do you guys think?
I'm torn.
He's already paying out of his pocket. So he's trying to cover himself in case an investigation.
Right. That's why it's not a thing for him.
Right. He's already letting go of a couple of dollars. My thing is, on one hand, I'm kind of like, okay, at least we're being honest here now and acknowledging that it's a professional sport at these academic institutions. But on the other hand, I'm saying these dudes ain't not never going to go to class. They already don't go to class, but now they're going to be like, yo, I'm getting my $5,000 a month. Yo.
Yeah, I got a better idea. Let Diddy say it.
Let Justin pay it. He's getting a free ride. Let Justin pay it.
Exactly.
I mean, y'all know we've had this conversation many a times, and I'm not of the belief. I know it's a billion-dollar industry, but I still just can't bring myself to look at college athletics as professional sports, because that's your springboard into professional sports. Like I said before, the only thing I think they should get paid for is when their likeness is used on jerseys, you know, video games and stuff like that, because the contracts that they have these guys sign is ludicrous. Like, you know, anything in the universe with your name on it, we own it, you know, stuff like that. But just, you know, if you don't value the education, then to me that's on you. You know what I'm saying?
But I
know
a lot of people
disagree with that.
Yeah, because they're not in a position to value the education. They don't care about that. They're only going because they're forced to go. It's not like
there should be, though. There should be, though, because everybody on those rosters aren't going to the league. Some of y'all need to value the education.
I get that. I get, you know, we need people like that for our society to work. We need people that think they're going to the league and not. So, you know, they can, like, in order for our society to work, we need people to fail. But that being said, something has to be done. I'm not smart enough to figure it out, but if you give me some money, I will. But somebody needs to sit down and come up with some sort of solution, because the current system is broken. That's just the bottom line. I don't know what the answer is, but it's not the current system.
I heard of a situation where someone said that allow them to take out a loan each year of, let's say, $2,000 to $5,000, depending on the institution. And then upon graduation, then have them pay that back. And it'll be kind of like a small token, kind of like everybody else that pays student loans, since they get everything else for free. And they would have the option to do that.
I don't know about that. You're going to be starting a whole lot of people out in the world with bad credit.
That's what it is now.
Like Jimmy said, there's a big percentage of people who think they're good enough to go to one of these professional leagues, and they're not. So whether they finish school or not, and whether they make it to the league or not, these guys, you know, they're going to owe that money. And a lot of them, they feel in their hearts, you know, it's not just me saying it, they feel, okay, this football thing, this basketball thing is all I know how to do in the world. So a lot of these dudes don't make it. They just turn into bums. So you're going to have debt out the wazoo. I don't think that Spurrier's thing is really far-fetched. I just don't think they should get paid, you know, like a salary, a weekly check, or anything like that to play college sports. I'm not mad at a stipend, at all. I'm not mad at a stipend couple times.
But see, Brad brought up a point. I know you disagree with this, Dev, but for all intents and purposes, this is, like, professional. I mean, the NFL doesn't have like, a junior or minor league. Because they don't have
right.
to, because they use big-time college football.
Right.
You know, it goes it's just like the NBA. When the NBA has NBDL, and I think the solution would be to invest money in that. NFL doesn't have to, and it's kind of a joke.
What about the other sports, though? I can see what you're saying for football, but the other sports do, and cats are still doing the same thing and asking for the same thing.
You talking about the welfare sports like swimming and golf?
No, I mean, even basketball. They have a developmental league now, and you have other leagues that you can go play in outside of the United States,
That's why I said the answer for that would be to make an investment in the NBDL. If the NBA decided to invest in the NBDL, I think a lot of their issues in dealing with college athletics would be solved, because a lot of the guys wouldn't go to college. They say, look, I'm going to the NBDL because I can get paid and I can, you know, try to make it to the league. College is a joke. These guys are using it as a springboard to go play professional. Some of them, aren't good enough.
Mm-hmm.
They're just not good enough. But, I mean, that's going to happen regardless. That's always happened. It always will happen. But some of these guys don't appreciate the education because they're not taught to value it from a young age. So you just can't say, hey, you need to value this education because you're not going to make it. It doesn't work that way.
You bring up a tremendous point, Jimmy, because my whole thing is there's never been an intent, really serious intent from football at least, to invest in a minor league system to grow their – you know, it's almost like they look at their bottom line and say, why would we spend billions of dollars when we've got a system that works on the collegiate end? And I'm sure the schools agree because they're in the racket too. They're making a ton of money as well. So they keep things as it is, but there should be a minor league, man, because it's a joke at this point. It's a joke.
Yo, often some of these big time programs make more than some NFL teams.
You're right.
And
they
don't
have to pay players. They don't got to pay players.
Yo, that's gangster right there.
We're gonna go to the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline. We got the homie Naeem on the line from B-More. Naeem, what's going on, brother?
What's going on? You know I'm from Philly. I just reside in B-More in the D.C. area.
I said in B-More, not from B-More.
I'm in Gettysburg right now at work. But I want to touch this subject about Sean with Diddy's son. I am so mad about this whole situation. That young man earned a scholarship.
Amen.
The young man had a 3.75 GPA. I mean, nobody's talking about that. They're talking about his father. Well, his father didn't hit them books. That young man studied.
I know that for a fact.
I mean,
his father dropped
man,
out of the school that I graduated
from. Yeah.
His father was still throwing parties at that school.
Exactly.
While we were, no, never mind.
Well, Devin and Jimmy went to Ivy League like I did. I think we had a textbook for gym. You know what I mean? We walked around with a book bag. So, I mean, you work hard. He went to a private school that his father paid for. So, you know, there's other people there with big money like Puffy. And he outshined with them. Give that man his credit.
Exactly.
I mean, 3.75, this man might have earned a scholarship without
on his own
cornerback
exactly.
on the football team. So, yeah,
It's to your point, brother. We're fostering a society where everybody should get an equal share or a handout, and the merits of competition and earning your way aren't celebrated.
Man, I haven't been no handout for nothing in life. I earned all of mine, and I'm going to keep on earning it. And the other subject I want to talk is...
He should be getting praise instead of this nonsense.
Exactly.
What's the other subject?
There's nobody, I'll be the first, I'll man up, I must admit, LeBron James is looking like the LeBron James. I'm not a fan of his, but he's showing up.
He showed up for the first three rounds last year.
Let's see, he's showing he's 6'8", he's a beast. I got to give my credits for him. You know, my little brother dogged me out on the Facebook page talking about what, but I'm going to wait to see when he gets to the big dance, you know.
That's coming from you. See, people don't know how critical you have been of LeBron, so that's like shocking him to come from you.
I
Naeem, Make sure you keep listening in because, you know, we're going to hit that topic a little later on in the second hour. So,
hey, but one thing, I'm going to let y'all go. He couldn't hit the clutch shot last night, two shots.
We're definitely
going to
talk about that.
Show up
Leave Rondo alone because the same token I'm talking about, Tony Parker's playing with attitude too. Remember, San Antonio was talking about trading him because he dogged Chris Paul and he's giving.
They always talking about trading him.
But he's dogged Chris Paul and he's giving, what's his name, the Blues. I mean, Tony Parker is showing me. Well, he's hurting Westbrook.
Yeah.
I mean, he's looking like he's 25. I really want to see him and Rondo match up, but it's not going to happen, though.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Homie.
It's going to be him and Chalmers. But thanks for your call, man.
Yeah, no doubt. Keep listening, homie.
All right. Have a good one.
All right.
Thanks, bye. Yeah, that matchup ain't going to happen. Shout
out to Baltimore. And for those who don't know, he's been so critical of LeBron, so hearing him say that is like a big deal.
that's he manned up. Like you said, he manned up. But moving on, some sad news, man. We ain't got to stay on this long because we don't want to bring the show down. But two-time welterweight champion Paul Williams, he was in a motorcycle accident Sunday morning in Atlanta, and he is now paralyzed from the waist down. So his boxing career is over. Doctors say he will never walk again.
Damn.
He seems to be optimistic. People said when his manager said, you know, he went to see him in the hospital, and he was cracking jokes and still saying that he's going to walk again. He had a fight scheduled. I think it was a title fight, in fact, against Saul Canelo Alvarez on September 17th. It was going to be the main event of a pay-per-view card at the MGM Grand in Vegas. Of course, you know, that's canceled. His shot is gone. His career is gone. What do you guys think about this whole situation?
It's just sad, man.
Oof,
sad. Like, I mean, not to take it off onto a tangent about motorcycles, but man, I've heard that story so many times, and
exactly.
You know, we've gone to school with people who've had that type of fate, even worse. So like, I mean, I've never been on a motorcycle before, so I can't really speak to it, but I can't imagine that the thrill matches the risk that you take. But
I can tell you that it does, and you got more of a chance of dying in a car accident than in a bike accident. I'm just saying.
Well, I know way more people that died on bikes than car accidents.
Hey, Brad, hold on.
See, that's one of those.
Dad, real quick, I did some defensive driving training, and Brad, and those statistics were much higher with motorcycle deaths, and it's mainly because when you have impact, there's nothing protecting you, whereas when you have car impact, obviously you have that protecting you. Now, I'm just saying what they show in the defensive driving class.
Yeah.
It could be off, but, you know.
Dr. Bay, it's one of those statistics that we always like to talk about, those statistics without context. Because, you know, they always say, you know, flying is the safest way to travel. You're more likely to get into a car accident, which is true because you're driving more and there are more cars on the road, yada, yada. But the difference is, if you get into a plane accident, you're probably not going to survive. So even though it's the safest way to travel, the odds are you'll get into a car accident, you know, 1,000 times before you get into a plane accident, you have a chance to walk away from those car accidents. You don't. You have less of a chance to walk away from a motorcycle accident. You have no chance to walk away from an airline accident. So, you know, it's one of those type of statistics. You know, you're flipping in the air with nothing to...
It's a very sad story. And I remember Paul Williams. I was a huge Winky Wright fan, and Paul Williams beat Winky Wright and impressed me in that fight. I think he was like 28 or 29-2, something crazy like that. So he was 41-2.
Oh, no, he's like 41-2.
He was 41-2.
Yeah.
Okay, 41-2. I know he only had two losses. I remember he had 41 wins.
What weight class was he?
Welterweight.
He was like one of those skinny, rangy type of boxers. He was like a thin dude, but he got good range and leverage on his punches.
And he fought middleweight too. But damn, I didn't realize he had that many wins. He's 41-2, so he was like, you know, he was one of the top athletes in his sport, and it's sad to see like it end like this. You know what I mean?
It sounds like he's the type of dude that Floyd would be running from.
Oh God!
I'm not even gonna comment on that, man. All I'm going to say is I refuse to disrespect Pacquiao because he served me well on a cruise all week. So with that being said,
I'm gonna full of deuce on the Philippines, yo.
Go back to Paul.
They were singing, too.
Sometimes
yeah, but they said what happened, the accident occurred around 8 a.m. He was riding to one of his brother's home to get ready for another one of his brother's weddings. You know, it took place later on in the day. He had on his helmet and everything. He rolled out of his lane to avoid a car that was moving into his lane, but another car was coming toward him in the other lane. They said he swerved to avoid the oncoming car, wound up riding up a steep embankment, lost control of the motorcycle before flying several feet in the air and landing on his back in the road. One of the cars, you know, somebody who was driving the car called 911, and the cops, you know, I don't know why they had to release this, but they were saying his speed wasn't really conducive to the situation. Like, he was going too fast for the situation, you know, the traffic situation that was going on. So they tried to really slide it in there and say it was his fault. But that's besides the point, man. Sad to see that, you know, this happened to him. But like I said, before we bring the show down, we're going to have to move on from Paul Williams. We hope whatever you do from here on in life is halfway fulfilling compared to what he used to do. But just a note, the Kings in the NHL Stanley Cup Finals, the LA Kings take a 1-0 lead. They beat Jersey in overtime last night. In the MLB, Matt Kemp re-injures his hamstring one day after coming off the 15-day disabled.
And it's worse. It's worse now. It's worse.
Yeah, it's definitely worse. He was going home all the way from first on a double by Andre Ethier, and he said as he was going around third, going to home, he just felt like his hamstring just jabbed him in the back of his leg, and he said this time he might be out for a month.
Is it a tear?
He's actually having an MRI today, so they really haven't released the severity of it. Another bad injury is Roy Halladay, the Phillies ace. He's out 6 to 8 weeks with a lat strain. Now,
Brent will take care of him. Brent got him. Shout out to Brent Healy.
Damn, I don't even know what to say. But I wanted to ask you guys, which injury is worse for their team? Matt Kemp, who was on an MVP pace, or Roy Halladay for the Phillies?
I say Matt Kemp because Roy Halladay obviously playing every fourth or fifth game, and Matt Kemp is an everyday player. So, in essence, Halladay will miss probably more games. Less games than Matt Kemp would overall.
It depends. Like, when they let us know the severity and how long he's going to be out, because 6 to 8 weeks, you know, that's a lot of starts. But there is a different way to look at it, just if you want to play devil's advocate. The Dodgers, who have the best record in baseball, 32-18, they were 9-5 without Kemp during that stretch that he missed for the hamstring in the first place. But, you know, when he hurt it the first time, he ended a 399-game streak, which was the longest active streak in the majors. He was batting .355 with 28 Ooh. RBI and 12 home runs.
Man.
And this is after, you know, missing more than 15 days on the disabled list. Now, Man. Roy Halladay, he has 11
he
starts.
He must have been smashing Rihanna.
Halladay has 11 starts, 72 innings pitched, 56 strikeouts, 14 walks. But he was only 4-5 with a 3.98 ERA. And the Phillies are in last place in the NL East at 27-25. I mean, that's kind of, you know, that's not really – it fools you when you hear that because they're only three games out of first, even though they're in last. So that division is that close. You can still make the case that, you know, Roy Halladay is the – you know, he's going to – it's going to be worse for the Phillies, even though, like Kill said, he pitches once every 5 days. But the Phillies need that pitching because the Phillies – aren't hitting the ball like they used to. So, I don't know. Especially
That's
from
an understatement.
Because the odds are that Roy Halladay, his season will get better. So, with the Phillies being in last but being in such a tight race, I think you need every start from every good pitcher you can get. Cole Hamels is on like a Cy Young pace right now, but I think you need that because they did pretty well without Matt Holliday, and I think they can hold that down without him in the lineup. But I don't know. I think the Phillies could be in some major trouble with the run support. Roy wasn't getting run support as it was, so.
But run support is pathetic, yo. It depresses me. I don't even want to say anything about it. What happened? I know what happened, but it's, oh, man. I think that window is closing so fast, and I just don't want to admit it.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're missing almost 200 RBI out of your lineup and Utley and Howard, you know, sometimes it's hard to come by. Dudes get on base, and there's nobody to drive them in.
The window's closing when cats start going down with these noodle injuries. Well, not noodle injuries, because they're serious injuries, but when those injuries start to occur, yeah, that window's starting to close, and it's pissing me off, man.
And Chase is just disintegrating. Like, he's becoming, he's becoming sand. Like, his bones are just becoming dust. So we never see the Chase Utley that we saw before.
Yo, sometimes, though, PJ, they say they don't know if you're ever going to see Chase Utley again. Like, those are the kind of injuries he have. Like, he's out indefinitely. He may never come back. Damn.
He may come back with, metal knees and metal legs, like the RoboCop or somebody.
Yeah, and, you know, me, when Howard got hurt last play of last season, I thought he was faking because he failed again on the last play.
Thought he did a McNabb or something.
Mm-hmm. So I got to give him, you know, I got to apologize to him for thinking he was faking. Because if he is faking, he's taking this all away.
Like, this is my story. I'm sticking to it.
he on some George Costanza. Like, you want to get, let's get serious. But, so that's crazy. I mean, that's two big injuries in baseball. The Dodgers, I think, have a little bit of cushion. But this could be like one of those Jimmy Rollins hamstring injuries where you keep coming back too early and re-aggravating it, and he's never the same for the rest of the season. So
yeah.
We'll keep an eye out on that. I'm tripping right now. Jimmy, take over the joint for me. I don't know what I did with it.
I got you.
Technical difficulties.
Let's talk about the Knicks. The Knicks are back. The Knicks have worked out a deal to keep Mike Woodson as their head coach. Is this a good move or a bad move?
It's a good move.
All right, I got it. Yeah, I threw that John in the trash.
Damn. You're going freestyle. All
right, I'm
good move or a bad move?
Yeah, I think it was a good move because, I mean, he turned them around, and they were like, I want to say the ninth seed. Or a 10th seed when he took over for Antoni, and then he had some boys playing really good basketball. I know the first game they smacked Portland 130-72 or something, and did them on a nice little win streak, got them in the playoffs, had them playing tougher even though they didn't win. I mean, they won one game. He got them their first playoff win in 13 years. So shout out to him.
That's just because the Heat took their foot off their necks for a game and let them get one. But in his 24 games down the stretch, he did go 18-6. So his new contract is supposed to be two guaranteed years, one option year at $4 million per. They claim that they never even thought about calling Phil Jackson. But
they lying.
That's the kind of thing you say. You know, when you renew the dude, you don't want to hurt his feelings and say that you were calling
Jackson,
every coach in the world.
Phil Jackson just be disappearing. Like, when he's not coaching, you don't see, interviews or any kind of footage of him. Dude's going to the woods somewhere.
What's going on, those Aces commercials?
Yo, Phil Jackson is somewhere.
He's there, one commercial.
He's somewhere in Burma wearing a sheet with no socks on. Practice in the zen. I don't know where
dude disappears when he's not working. But with that,
he probably filmed that commercial 2 years ago.
We had to give him another chance. I think he at least earned another shot. Whether he can win with the talent they have, only time will tell. I say no. But
yeah.
you know, he deserves a shot. You know what I mean? He deserves a shot. So, shout out to him.
I mean, I've spoken to Knicks fans and you know, a couple of New York writers, and they don't seem to be too upset about the situation. So, we'll wait and see, you know, because this is the NBA. So, whatever happens could, you know, it could fall apart quickly and he'd be gone. But we didn't get to talk about this last week. But Dwight Howard, after, you know, allegedly getting Stan Van and Otis Smith fired, he says he wants out of Orlando even worse than ever now. I mean, what do you guys think about that situation? Like, they're doing everything to try to appease this guy, to get rid of everybody in the organization he claims he doesn't like, even though he won't admit it anymore in the public. What do you think about
that,
this whole saga with him, man?
The chief operating officer or CEO dude, Martin, I blame him. I think he's an idiot.
For allowing him to run his franchise?
Yeah.
What was the whole point of you know, opting back in for this season? He's just going to do this again. He just wanted people to like him at the time.
He can't make his mind up. He was John Kerry and the whole time. He wants to do this, and he wants to do that. But, I mean, at the end of the day, he can come to L.A. for Bynum right now. Because he's still the best center in the league. But here's the problem. He handled the situation so poor. Why don't he shut up? If you look at how Deron Williams, who's, like, you know, just as good at his position as Dwight is at his, he handled it completely different. He just shut up and played ball. And
right.
He's not
and when he leaves, nobody can hate him because he didn't tell y'all
he
wasn't going
to shut up
me.
And just play ball. This dude doesn't know how to shut up. He's constantly in the media. Just shut up.
Well, you know, again, my response to that is going to be we do offer the War Room Big Brother and Pops program for wayward athletes. That's what the dude needs. I mean, he flip-flopped so much. There can't be a stern calming force in his camp or in his ear because no one would have allowed him to make a fool of himself like that. Like, he's foolish.
He's either that or he's just not listening to his camp. Because I'm pretty sure somebody in his camp is telling him to shut up, but at the end of the day, you know,
Think about it. Even with all them muscles, he's not a tough dude. He don't have anybody that just gripped him up and told him, young boy, shut up. And he may have somebody that gives him, you know, a little tidbits of good advice, but he don't have anybody to grip him up and say, you know, keep your mouth shut. You're ruining your credibility and reputation by your actions. But again, Dev, I go back to the dude Martin, the guy that's running the show that fired Van Gundy and Smith. He's the true idiot in all of this because even he should have come to the table and told Dwight to either be quiet or backed off and go in a different direction and kept.
He's going to leave his franchise in a very bad position by trying to do everything to appease somebody who doesn't want to be there. So, you know, it's going to be a hard road back for the Orlando Magic. And we were going to talk a little bit about our hometown squad, the Sixers, and what the immediate future may hold for them after taking the Celtics 7 games. But I think we'll save that for next week because before we get to the conference finals, we just wanted to talk about the big NBA story of the last 24 hours, which is this whole lottery situation. Now, the New Orleans Hornets won the NBA draft lottery last night with Bobcats at 2, Washington at 3, Cleveland at 4, Kings at 5. Portland has a pick at 6 and 11 because of the trade with the New Jersey Nets, where they traded for Gerald Wallace, who's not going to come back. So basically they've traded him for nothing, and Deron Williams is going to leave. So Brooklyn's going to start off their new franchise in dire straits. You got Golden State at 7, the Raptors at 8, Detroit at 9, New Orleans again at 10. Of course, I said Portland at 11, Bucks at 12, the Suns at 13. What do you guys think? I think something fishy went on with the lottery. Do you guys think anything fishy went on in this situation?
With New Orleans getting that first pick?
I don't think so.
No.
I mean, it could, but the way it happened, it does leave some room there to you know, have some conspiracy theories going on. I don't think so. I just want to hope so. I just want to.
Let me give you my conspiracy theory real quick, PJ.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's like, you know, of course, we know that the Hornets were under the control of the NBA for like the last year and a half, 2 years.
Right.
We know what they did earlier in the season as far as blocking trades and making sure they make the right trade for the franchise or whatever. They just sold the team to Tom Benson like weeks ago. We all know that.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me, because he was really like one of the only suitors for this team. Anybody else who wanted to buy this team wanted to move it out of New Orleans. The NBA wanted to keep it in New Orleans, so they sold it to the owner of the New Orleans Saints, so you knew would have no problem keeping it in New Orleans. Now, him being the only suitor for this team, you know, that would keep it in New Orleans, it would seem to me that they would tell him, okay, as incentive to make this deal, we're going to throw in that number one pick for you, knowing that the number one pick this year is somebody who they think is a transcendent talent, you know, one of those once-in-a-generation type dudes. It just seems really fishy to me that New Orleans ended up with that pick. When they just sold the team, they just traded their franchise player. They let these teams bounce back a little too fast because I think that's how they won it. I think it was fishy last year with Cleveland. You lose LeBron, and then all of a sudden you get the first pick. Come on, son.
And Jeff, I think you're onto something. Like, I didn't even look at it like that. But looking at all the evidence, I feel like the Law and Order sound should have came on because I think you cracked the case.
Listen, man. Listen, man. Here's the situation, man. In the words of the great Uncle Ben, man, with great power comes great responsibility. And Stern has to know that it doesn't even matter whether there was something that went on. It's the appearance of impropriety. It's sometimes that is worse than it actually happened. Like, David Stern, like, with the whole Chris Paul trade,
yeah,
the whole fact that the league owned the team, there should have been something in place where they couldn't have been eligible to get the first pick. Because now, regardless of whether it's true or not, it appears that way. So,
right.
Like,
perception is reality.
Listen, man, I got something to say to David Stern real quick, though, B. Austin.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
To himself, man. How can he let this happen, man? Because now you already got referees betting on games. You got LeBron going to the foul line 46 times. You're giving the first pick away to a guy that just bought. It's like, yo, no one's going to believe him. The league is becoming like WWE, yo.
Jimmy.
That's like, you know, I'm trying to tell this team to Jimmy. And Jimmy's like,
remember,
yo.
He blocked his book. He blocked Tim Donaghy's book from coming out, too.
And he's like, you know, I'm trying to sell the team to Jimmy. And he the only dude left. Like, I mean, like, why should I buy this team? Nobody else wants this team. It's obviously not making any money. You just traded away our franchise player. Like, why do I want this piece of trash team? I'm like, all right, so, you know the dude, Anthony Davis, boy with one eyebrow? He coming out. He going to be the number one pick. I'll make sure you get that number one pick. Deal. All right. It just seemed too easy, man. It seems way too easy.
Yeah.
I'm like PJ. I'm trying
pick.
To hold out hope that it's not happening, that it was just coincidence. But they need to do something with the draft lottery where the fans actually see the pinball, you know, the balls being picked or something. Because you just come out with a dude with an envelope, like, nobody trust that dude.
It does. Speaking of Anthony Davis, like, he better not develop a 3-point game and start hitting threes, because then they're going to start calling him the unibrow bomber.
I see what you want with
man.
That
joke was so horrible.
Rank top five is pointing out more stuff. Like Dwayne Wade not being suspended after tackling the Indiana guard. Like how the league is starting to look fishy, man. Yo, Dwayne Wade was jumping last night hitting people with double dragon kicks. So
yo,
like,
he always uses that move,
to the
though.
Face.
Yeah, D Wade always uses that, and he never gets called for a charge. He always kicks himself.
Yeah. He get up and grit on somebody. He don't get the text that everybody else gets. Yeah, it's crazy.
And I'm not trying to say they want the Heat to win, but I'm trying to say they want the Heat to win.
So it's like,
I mean, you got to look at some of this stuff. Some of this stuff, when you look at it in its totality, you're like, what's going on with the league that we love, man? You got it's just it doesn't even matter whether what we're saying is true or not. It's like Austin said, perception becomes reality.
If I subscribe to that train of thought, though, I would probably not even want to watch it as much. So I just try to, like, be ignorant to it all. I try to ignore the writing on the wall. I just close my eyes when I get near walls so I can't see the writing.
But you just bury your head in the sand. Like, I'm cool.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Well, Jim, since you said they want the Heat to win, let's talk about that. Let's talk about the conference finals. But before we do that, I just want to tell everybody one more time that you can check out our website at warroomsports.com. You can call in and speak to us about any of the topics we're talking about right now. Just dial the Digital Extreme Tech hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk, and we'll get you on the air, and you can give us some of your conspiracy theories. But right now, Jimmy, what's going on in the conference finals? Who is it sponsored by?
Before I get to the NBA playoffs, let me let you know this, that you can now hear our show, The War Room, on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your computer, your iPhone, your Android phone, your BlackBerry, your Palm phone. I will not slander BlackBerry phones because we have Jeff from Ranked Top 5 in our chat room, and he still uses a BlackBerry phone. He still holds on, so shout out to you, Jeff. The latest episode is always available for you. No syncing needed and no memory or storage wasted. Downloading is easy. Click on the Stitcher logo on our website or go to stitcher.com/thewarroom. And then also make sure when you download this to use the actual code, thewarroom, one word, because this will enter you into a contest to win some money, and everybody loves to win money. So with that being said, let's talk about the moves. The Spurs lead the Thunder 2-0. That makes 20 straight wins for the Spurs. Why is it looking so easy for them?
Yo, man. I wanna take the time to really officially apologize to the San Antonio Spurs, the team and the organization, because I was one of the naysayers. I was one that did not believe. Yo, it's like they're playing their little brother, and their little brother can run faster and jump higher, but the little brother cannot play basketball better.
Yeah. My take on this is some of the moves they made during the season that went under the radar because they weren't, like, big name moves. You know, you talk about adding Kill's favorite player.
Kill's man.
Yeah, Kill's man.
Shrek. Shrek is balling.
The man who looks like Shrek. Then you added, like, you know, Thug Jackson there. Those moves made them, like, a deep team and also a very talented team because although we joke about those two players, we never question their ability to play this game. So, Tony Parker's playing out of his mind. He was talking trash before the game and has backed it up. He was talking about how Westbrook didn't have to guard anybody the first two rounds. He was going to give him fits, and he did just that. So ever since he you know, got rid of that young lady, he's been balling. So but with that being
like
said,
Matt Kemp.
Yeah. You cut off these high profile women, and you get to concentrate on your game, and you know. I guess they start to enjoy the game again. Tony Parker is playing out of his mind. And it's just like Austin said, these guys play the game the way it's supposed to be played, Larry Brown voice. But they're going to be a tough out for anybody.
Yo,
Tony Parker
is
taking all comers right now, man.
It's got to be frustrating to look across the table and see one guy with a receding hairline and a window and Tony Parker – this little French dude busting your ascot. Yo, they are busting.
they ass.
It is crazy. Good,
PJ.
No, I was going
to
say real quick,
it's
crazy.
Not because of a lack of, like, you know, scoring or anything, because the last game, you still got, like, 31 from Durant, 30 from Harden, 27 from Westbrook, but they still gave
your
up
boys.
120 points to the Spurs. Like, the Spurs
and
have a
boys,
nice little mix. Like I said, they got a nice little mix of old and young that a lot of teams just seem like they can't contend with. And the way that they play for Popovich, it gives the older dudes – well, it gave the older dudes a chance to have a lot of rest during the season to be fresh for this time right here.
Dev, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question.
Only coach that gets Steve Jackson a buzz.
Dev, let me ask you, who is Kawhi Leonard?
Hey.
He was a ball in the tournament last year.
I was about to say, yeah, he gave it to Temple, so I don't like the ball like that. But,
Steve Fisher disciple.
Yeah.
Coach
I mean, but he's one of those guys, you know, he lucked up and went to a great team. You know, I'm not saying that he wouldn't, like, he would be less talented if he went to another team. The dude is talented. He can play. But if he had gone to a Cleveland, a Washington, or somebody like that where he had to do more, because we may not be paying that much attention to him right now. But he's playing a great role on the Spurs, and he's, you know, he's playing it well. And
he's still holding on to them braids, too.
Yeah.
In our chat room.
Let PJ say what he had to say first.
I was going to say real quick that another thing is mentally, Pop has these dudes buying into that system. And I think a lot of what allows them to be successful is that nobody really tries to stand out and necessarily be a star. Like the way they play pick and roll, and they have so many options off the pick and roll to make the extra pass. I mean, if you looked at their last game, there were so many wide open shots that normally you don't see because that last pass that's made is rarely ever made in the NBA, really, on a consistent basis.
PJ,
they made crazy.
They made so many extra passes.
Yo.
Like after the third or fourth pass, the Thunder just stopped running to the ball.
Right.
And
because you know what? It
is
funny because, Dev, remember back, like all of us back in the day, coaches would always tell us you can pass the ball faster than you can dribble with it and run.
Exactly.
Yeah, nobody. Exactly. I know it was tons of coaches all over the world looking at the Spurs play like, that's what I be trying to tell my young boy. But no, you know what I'm saying?
Yo, that game made a lot of coaches excited.
Their ball movement. I know, Kill, you get excited to watch them play as a coach. Yo, their ball movement is so beautiful. They make 5, 6, 7 passes per possession. I got another question that maybe someone can answer. Think about this. Now, the Thunder are having problems on the perimeter. Stopping the pick and roll and that dribble drive and back side rotation, skip pass, all that. But ball movement is crazy. If you reverse that trade with Boston, you give Boston what they need, which is another big oafy body to hack LeBron. You bring Jeff Green, back, and you have a long 6'8", 6'9" dude, pause, that can defend on the perimeter and give the Thunder an extra perimeter defender that they now need because they are getting mollywopped.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a good point because, you know, Kendrick Perkins is worthless, period, but he's worthless this series because of, you know, what you just said because they need an extra body or two on the perimeter.
They can move their feet.
They're just being
outclassed now, and I like your analogy, Austin. It's like the little brother with all the athleticism and playing the older brother who just plays the game the way, like who's just playing with a higher IQ, and just a better basketball player. That's exactly what it is. These guys can run and fly and all that, but they can't play basketball. And Greg Pop is like, you know, just. It's amazing.
Yo.
It's amazing to watch them play.
And he holds superstars accountable. I mean, Tony Parker was out there giving out business cards, resumes, you know, inviting people to his job fair. He was just giving out work. But he made one mistake that led to a Thunder basket. Pop called a timeout and then met dude out on the court to scream. Like, this dude got, like, 30 points at this point, and he met him out there to scream at him because these dudes chopped the lead down to, like, 16.
And let's not pass this story without talking about Tim Duncan because he's still playing at a high level. And,
yo, Tim Duncan is cooking.
It's like if they pull this off, like, I don't know where he – it's like, where does he rank all time? Like, you never hear his name mentioned. Like, people give him props when talking about he's one of the greats, but, like, yo.
So you're saying if he gets his fifth ring – if he gets his
fifth ring.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy. It's like he's got 5 rings under the radar. How do you do that?
Well, there's a lot of people rooting for him to get a fifth ring because there's a lot of people that already says and they just want to say really bad that he's the best player of this era over Kobe Bryant.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, it's definitely an argument. but I heard them ask the question about it yesterday on something that I was listening to, and people wanted to go out of their way to say that Tim Duncan is already that guy, like, you know, the Nets.
Yo,
you know what he did?
His teammates better, but Kobe's is, and he
argument,
has three finals MVP, and, oh, come on.
That argument can't even be made just based on numbers. And I know we don't look exclusively at numbers, but Tim Duncan dropped to 13-8. And over the last five seasons, he's averaged like
under 20.
16-9, 16-8. Kobe Bryant is still in the top five numbers-wise and has never fallen in 15 seasons.
I'm not going to get into this debate. What bothers me is people seem to hate Kobe because of his personality. I don't know if it's because he's a
Laker. The response on these radio shows is all about his character. It has nothing to do with his game.
Kobe's a jackass.
What I'm saying is this, though. Do you think it has anything to do with him also being a Laker? Like, if Kobe had the same attitude, same production, but he played for, say, the Phoenix Suns, would it be the same? People also hate the Lakers. There's a whole
if he still had that lonely, quiet night in Colorado.
Yo, but
I don't know, like what you're saying, Jim. I don't know that. I mean, I know he's a jerk, but I'm like, what does he do so much these days? Like, what has he done over the past few years that people hate? Is it really just what he said about the hard work
that everybody should.
I don't know what it is to y'all.
Because he's so much better at what he does than what most human beings are, and then on top of that, he's an asshole. He makes you.
But
feel
how is he an a-hole so much? I don't even understand what he does to be an a-hole, unless I'm missing something. He gets labeled an a-hole a lot, and I'm just wondering, like, people didn't talk that much about Jordan being an a-hole, did they?
Because he became
Jordan was marketed as a smiling, unassuming, friendly, eat your vitamins, drink your orange juice type of dude. They marketed that. Kobe hasn't had that marketing.
Didn't Kobe get that marketing early on before the Denver situation?
He did early, but once Colorado hit, his marketing campaign dropped off. He grew fangs and a pointy tail after that. He became a devil. He had the group of people like me.
I mean, I'll be honest, I was one of those dudes that was feeling a little insecure about my number one hero being approached by Kobe Bryant. So then you had people, even though he was marketed correctly, you had people that were like, yo, he's not Mike. He's nowhere near Mike. You had that contingent, even though
and
the market.
I mean, I get that. But no one came at Mike like that before Mike. People were talking this whole Dr. J or Magic or Bird, whatever it may be. No one really got mad at Mike that way, the way they do Kobe. I understand what you're saying, but. And I think that him, like, taking that girl in a poop shoot, that had a lot to do with it. But I mean, I just don't see what other people see. But getting back to our original point, Tim Duncan is amazing. Whether he's the player of the decade over Kobe or Bryant, like, that's arguable. And no matter which side you come down on, it is arguable.
Five years of lackluster numbers is dominant.
But numbers aren't everything. He's doing what's asked of him, and he's playing at a high level when needed. And the fact of the matter that he doesn't care about his numbers is something to be said about that as well.
But that would be what separates it from me, though, because as long as they've both been in the league, they're still both playing at the highest level. But Kobe's level is kind of like the team needs him to be that. Like Duncan plays with such a great coach and a great team, you know, they don't need him to put up the numbers of old. Like, I can't sit here and say if needed he couldn't do it, because he probably could.
And I'm saying there's something to be said for that. If somebody when people tell Kobe now you need to pass more, he's like FOH. He's not going to pass.
But he also has a new coach that's telling him, I need you to carry this offense.
So
I'm not getting there.
Right. Break it down.
I need you to carry my
life.
He has a new coach that says, I need you to coach the offense.
I need you to carry my life. Carry my whole life for me.
And this is another thing, Jimmy, what a lot of people don't like is that Kobe don't give a damn what they think. Because when has he ever said he wasn't a gunner?
He admitted to being a gunner.
He just said it when they were talking about him and LeBron. He was like, I love to play with LeBron. He likes to pass first, and I'm a gunner. So, I'm not a Lakers fan, so I don't tune into the game to watch Kobe get assists. That's corny.
Yeah, and I totally understand that. But often the whole point you're making, pass the who, that's not a good point. Because don't front. I mean, you can say what you want about how soft they play. I'm not talking about metal. I'm talking about Gasol and Bynum. He has 2 7-footers that can play.
It seems like when they start leaning on them, though, the team doesn't
they are talented.
They talented, but, you know, sometimes
I mean, they're talented, but with that being said, when Kobe wasn't
like
there,
they play like the sometimes.
When Kobe wasn't there and they were the focal point, they played well. As a matter of fact, who's the last team to beat the Spurs? The Lakers without Kobe. But let's move on. Let's talk about the other series going on. It's going back to Beantown now. Austin's favorite team, the Miami Heatles, have a 2-0 lead, you know, facing the Boston Celtics, even though Ray John, who earned his J back in his name, went like 8 feces yesterday playing against them. He was like he trying to win the game by himself, but, you know.
Now he got the J back in his name, like, still, what the hell is a Ray John?
Yeah. I mean, he played his heart out. D Wade started pin smacking people, like he smacked Rondo in the face. Then he came down and double dragon kicked KG. I mean, you know, it is what it is.
Before that game too, Rajon Rondo said that the Celtics need to be a little more physical because in game one, LeBron and Dwayne Wade were just going to the hole at will. Now, I actually saw a difference in game two because early on in that game, the Heat were settling for a lot of jump shots, and that's kind of how the Celtics got out to the lead that they got out to. But it's like when it's different, you know, because the Heat, they're a flawed team. But when you have two of the greatest athletes, you know, the league has ever seen just running at the same time, they're in sync. And when they just feel like carrying the team and saying, okay, it's time to make a run, it's hard to stop those guys from doing that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I just don't see this. I don't think the Celtics have enough left in their legs to beat this team.
Yeah.
Then when
and
you
then
have,
when
like,
you
Haslam
got,
helping out late in games.
Yeah, when you got the abolitionists hitting jump shots from the side like that, it's pretty much curtains. I mean, if Haslam's going to make that jump shot, man, you might as well just report to your muster station because it's
all over. It ain't even Haslam. It's Chalmers. It's Chalmers too. When Chalmers
I'm getting Rio,
ball,
Rio Chalmers.
Rio. Smacking.
Me and Dev was at a sports bar watching the game, and you know, there's a lot of Miami Heat bandwagon fans. And dude was like, my man Rio. And we was like, damn, Mario
Chalmers
even got
fans
now.
He was like, good
now.
Take, Rio. I looked over there like, damn, he got fans now too?
He got fans
like,
now.
Rio.
Rio. Rio.
He took Lamar off his name and calls him Rio.
Yo, he get a nickname now. That's how bad, like,
if I'm going to be a Heat bandwagoner,
I'm going to keep it real. It's all about LeBron and Dwayne Wade
LeBron
and maybe Chris Bosh. I'm not going to be running around, good take, Rio. He's a bum.
That nickname is as pink as LeBron's, as pink as Dwayne Wade's pants. So that wasn't cool. What I was going to say is
crazy.
Chalmers
with his fashion.
Chalmers was hitting J's that I don't normally see him hit, and that's hard to beat when the role players step up. It's kind of like if you can shut them down and let Dwayne Wade and LeBron run them up, you still have a pretty good chance of coming up with a victory.
That's the thing. Even as flawed as they are, if the role players hit open J's like every role player is supposed to be able to do, it's hard to stop the team because you have to pay so much attention to those other J's. And LeBron is a pass first dude. He's going to find you if you're open. And all you got to do is do your part.
Shane Bocce Boy was hitting shots. Then you got, you know, like you said, Rio Chalmers is making shots.
Then you got the Octoroon skin tone ball. Battier, he making shots. If he start making from the baseline.
One more clown. Who are you talking about?
Always have a theory. It's not a proven stat. You know, this is one of my joints that I made up. But in my opinion, like 75-80% of the time, when a game goes into overtime, and you think one of the teams are clearly the better team, they're always going to come out on top in that overtime because it seems like the other team struggled so much just to get the game in the overtime.
Hold up, y'all.
So the Celtics did that.
Hold on. He just admitted that he made it up and then gave you a percentage with it, though. 85%.
Oh, yeah, I made that up, too. I made that up, too.
Quantitative theory.
I made up my own stat. Yo, hey, Jimmy, everybody else do it. So I made up my own stat. So, like, 80% of the time, the better team is going to win in overtime. And this is in all basketball.
I ain't Richard Rodden or nothing, but Dev told me that about 10 years ago, and I don't.
And you started watching. Most of the time, it's true.
But when
it went
to
overtime, I knew the Heat were going to win.
But Paul Pierce fouled out. They had no chance.
I got a question. Do you all think the Boston Celtics would have won one of those games had they had 100% Ray Allen and Avery Bradley?
That's hard to say.
Game two is probably the best chance.
But I don't think it's just the Spurs. I don't think it's just the ankle Spurs. I think Jesus is done.
Yeah. My man shooting air balls off the dribble when his momentum is going to the basket.
I don't think that he's done.
I don't think that he's done, but I don't think that he's
I didn't think
the
he was
athlete.
That good in the first place.
Hey, the Bulls, hey, I take him as a Bulls fan.
His legs is going to
I don't think he's the athlete at this point in his career that you want anywhere near Dwayne Wade.
Yeah.
And so I would rather see a healthy Avery Bradley.
Well, you see they put Rondo on Wade, you know, to ease the pain that he's going to give
to overtime. Rondo got no help in overtime. He scored every point.
Yeah, that's how you knew they didn't have a chance. Even when he did a couple of miraculous things to – you know, make it a winnable game or, you know, at least be able to compete. Even like Rondo can't do this by himself, man. I mean, if they had Paul Pierce, they had a really good chance to win that game last night. But with
Garnett looked so tired, dog. When he was walking, his feet wasn't coming off the ground. It was a foul. He had to go to the other end of the court. My man's feet stayed on the ground. He just slid up the court. I'm like, damn, that boy's tired right there.
Yeah, he run like his shoes.
Garnett did his thing. He had like 19 and 13 or something like that. He was balling.
Right,
but
Garnett to me, and I'm talking about his game and I'm talking about his tough act. It kind of goes down like when he's around stars equal or bigger than himself. We all talked about how Garnett bullied little dudes and stuff like that. Even the little dudes that are bigger stars than him, they punk him. Dwayne Wade kicked him in his nuts last night and then got up and gritted on him, and Garnett didn't even look at him tough.
And he flexed on him. He actually flexed his – D-Wade flexed his arms on him, like.
Even against Elton Brand in the Sixers series. Like, Elton, he wasn't, you know, he's not the player he used to be, but Elton don't go for all that tough stuff. Like, Elton, he'll hack you real hard. And it seemed like every time Elton kind of got up in his face, Garnett kind of backed down.
Hey, remember that blog I wrote on Vanilla Ice, KG being like Vanilla Ice and being soft, but like a tough guy? That video link to that article, when dude made a YouTube link saying with all the video footage, the NBA pulled it, man. They pulled it.
They hate us.
And that's the thing. Like, he did put up 19 and 13, but, like, the abolitionist, Udonis Haslam, he had, like, a double-double. He had, like, 13 and, like, 11.
Abolitionist. He does have abolitionist.
Yeah, I'm going to make a plea to any of our listeners out there who may be friends with Udonis Haslam. Yo, please tell him to cut that fabric off of his cheeks. That's not hair. That's not I don't know what kind of fabric it is. But
dyed cotton. It's dyed cotton.
It's like
it's Velcro. It looked like he got Velcro. Like he'll stick to like something. Like if his face walks past a carpet, if his face touch a carpet, he gonna stick. Like He got a Velcro on his cheekbone.
Yeah, it's like dude just walking around with patches of Brillo on his mug. Like, cut that off,
that man got
man.
A Brillo pad on his feet.
That's
yo,
nasty.
Is the Grinchman kind of falling off? I mean, for those of you who don't know,
dumb stuff. He's stupid.
Yeah, he is.
He's a pretty good defender. He's a streaky shooter, but like when he ain't streaky shooting, he like he's doing dumb stuff. And, yeah, when he ain't streaky shooting, he do dumb stuff. Like, he just disappears or does some dumb foul or a turnover.
He fouled LeBron yesterday for no reason. Like nothing was going on. The ball was sitting still, and nothing was going on. He just.
I'm gonna tell y'all the truth. Michael Peaches goes back into the locker room and looks in the mirror, and besides knowing that he's Peaches, yo, he still can't believe he's in the NBA, yo. Real rap. He's still
can't
a fan.
Believe,
like he
can't believe
he's
that,
like,
that
yo,
mug be on the
play.
Tube every night.
I know. He'd go in the mirror, he'd be like, hey, Gorilla. Every time you look in the mirror.
Yeah. I mean, I think sometimes on defense, man, because he is a good defender, but like Jimmy said, man, sometimes, boy, he just do dumb stuff, man. You got to relax the brain.
I'd like to explain something. I ain't punchy. I got what you call, like, I don't know, a relaxed brain, but I ain't punchy, you know. It's just...
So it was from that injury that he sustained when he got his brain hit the back of his head earlier in the season.
Yeah. You said when his brain hit the back of his head?
Yeah, he got a whiplash.
Yeah, he got that whiplash on his booty.
Yeah, he was in the middle of streaky shooting.
Just stopped on that streaky shooting.
Yeah, I think right top five in the chat room said they think Stern want the Heat to play the Spurs. I don't really think that's true. I think they just can't stop the Spurs from getting where they want to go.
They don't really want to see
the Spurs in the championship either.
Yeah, they want to see OKC anything.
They want to see the many twisted faces and expressions of Russell Westbrook in the finals. They want to see him make all them funny faces he made.
Yeah,
I have the power.
Russell Westbrook is an ugly dude.
Yeah, man. He makes the ugliest faces. I'm like, yo, stop, Russell, man.
Yo,
he must be one of them LL dudes because his lips be wet all the time.
His cheekbones sucked in like Skeletor.
He comes to the post-game conferences in his little brother's clothing with glasses with no lenses in them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, talk to me about your man's fashion.
Talk about a black girl lost.
But real quick before we, because we run out of time, when Rondo made those comments about them, you know, they need some dudes to hit the deck and they need to get more physical, Dwayne Wade kind of shot back and said, you know, we won't be punked. We never got to talk about that last week after that that Indiana series. Does it seem like the Heat, when they want to get physical, they definitely do so. But then when another team either gets physical or fires back, like, they kind of cry in the media a little bit. Because, in that Pacers series, LeBron was quick to throw an elbow, but then he was quick to look for the ref as soon as Danny Granger got back up in his face.
Yeah.
I didn't really understand that. Like, you tossing bows, you need to be ready for what's about to happen.
Yo, he would toss a bow, and then while his bow was still frozen in the air, he would put his hands up like the what I do in the same what I do position. He didn't even bring his arm back down. He goes from a bow.
Like,
what I do?
Like, what you do? You want to pull your arm down first? For you?
Exactly.
The crazy part is like when you watch that series, it's like the Pacers got so like engulfed in that whole physical thing and they forgot to play basketball.
Right.
And I guess so. You got kept like just basically clotheslining you.
Yeah.
Yo, my man got hit. The one boy got the boy that did the choke sign.
Yeah, they got shot.
He got hit with the Road Warriors finishing move. Like he lifted him up and he tickled him up.
They gooned him. They gooned him up. And dude should be kicked out of the league because he's not good enough to foul nobody like that.
Pat Riley told him to do it. Like you know, Pat Riley was known for these antics anyway.
All right, so Rondo.
Tony Smart Jackson from North Philadelphia was still in the league.
Yo, 44, 8, 10, and 3 steals. He played every minute of the game, regulation and overtime, and it came up short. That seemed to me like a wasted performance. And it's one of those things where they had such a big lead in the game. they had one player who was on fire like that. It might just crush their spirit. That might be that spirit-crushing game where the Heat might be able to finish them off in five games just because they didn't get one of those first two.
Like, if you're wrong, though, you're like, man, I ain't playing these. I mean, like, yo, that has to bother you. How does it not bother you? If it doesn't bother, he comes back and has another performance like that, then, like, he's taking another step.
I can't even shoot, and I got 44. What are y'all doing?
I got 44.
Yo, where is Brandon Ass at? Brandon Ass gave the Sixers all kinds of fits.
Yeah.
That's all he had in the tank. He got re-upped for next year.
He's a bum. Jim, what did you think about, because you know they've been talking about this for the last 24 hours, too. LeBron took two shots, you know, down the stretch, right at the buzzer and right before the buzzer. Mr. Layup, Mr. J. People killing him for it. He not clutch, this and that.
Two ways to look at this. At least he took the shot. That's one thing to say. Like,
that's where I am.
But then number two is, he put this on himself. Like, he's going to be unfairly judged for the rest of his career, but it's all his fault. Like, you know what I mean? So he got the heavy as the head that wears the crown. You call yourself king, you got to deal with that. So he's being unfairly judged, but he wants that on himself.
I don't feel it's unfair because if you look at those two shots, they were two. First of all, the layup was a mundane shot. We've seen him hit much tougher layups than that. Why do you blow that crib? And then the last thing is, Rondo is 6 feet. We'll give him 6'1" and about 160 pounds. LeBron James is 6'9" and 285. Why do you shoot a fadeaway from the right at 18 feet? Why do you do that? He didn't post up in that entire game until once in the fourth quarter against Ryan.
That's definitely fair. That is true.
That's definitely fair, B. Austin, because, you know, I didn't want to nitpick because, you know, people looking for us to do that. But, you know, on one hand, like Jimmy said, I'm glad he took the shot. Even the last one, you know, he asked Dwayne Wade for the ball. But now, with the two shots that he did take, I don't want to nitpick, but you can kind of say that it may have been a little contrived. He's like, okay, I got an opportunity. It's not that much of a pressure situation because the game is tied. It's not like if I miss, we lose. So let me grab this ball, take two shots that's kind of out of character for me. You know what I'm saying? One layup that he makes at will, and then, like you said, he shoots the fadeaway against a 6'1 defender who's talking trash, mind you, while he's dribbling the ball.
And greasy to him. But here's the thing, though. He may have been scared of Rondo because Rondo shot Ricky Baker. I don't know if y'all remember Boys in the Hood, but the boy that shot Ricky Baker was just like Rondo. But Rondo was fucking greasy to him.
Ricky!
He was talking greasy to him. And LeBron did pull up, and he should have posted up more. But with that being said, like Dev said, it is kind of nitpicking. He took the shot, he missed the shot. I mean, it is what it is. But
I don't think it's nitpicking, though. We talking about a guy who gets praised for having a great basketball IQ, and that's
baby
the
steps.
Best shot.
Baby steps. He would have hot potatoed that ball a couple weeks ago.
All right, now
he's like, it's a tie game. The pressure is not on full blast. You know, let me take some BS shots to shut everybody up. You know, if I make it, I'm the hero, and everybody who likes me is going to say, look at that, bam, he made one. He's the most clutch player ever. If he missed, it's not going to hurt the team. They go into overtime. They crush the Celtics.
To be honest with you, if you rewatch the play, the Celtics were kind of collapsing in the lane anyway. So he got a shot off. He should have made the shot. Yeah. I mean, the bottom line is that's a makeable shot. He makes that shot.
We got to roll out.
Yes, sir. Thanks for joining us in the war room once again, family. Shout out to everyone who chatted with us in the chat room, Facebook, through Twitter, called into the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline to talk to us. Tune in next week, same time, same place, to hear us talk more about the NBA playoffs and everything else in the world of sports. Until next week, everybody, find us on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, Tumblr, Instagram, StreamZoo. Basically, you can find us anywhere on the line.
Peace.
You know, seen it all, we've been through it all, yo. That's how niggas know right now. Yo, the mother for real, for real.
Queen B, baby.
That's the truth.
throwing niggas with rusty ass German things. Giving the double as I motherfucking claim the fame. Throwing your wet suit when it rains and pours and all. Hit them with the fall, don't even know them from a hole in the wall. Get at me, niggas wanna clap me. Sisters wanna rap me, put it right where they back be. Keep my thuns close to me, enemies even closer. Sending kites with the motor rollers, yo. Give them the cold shoulder with a hollow tip to match. Bad apple out of the bat, success with gat. Since a little dude, eating niggas full buck 50. Niggas could kill me, but they coming with me. How about that? Send the queen bee to attack. Only a fly bitch like that can leave him relaxed. Rockin' to sleep, make him think the drama is dead. Yo, I smile up in your face, so I'm fighting instead.
Yo, it's the real shit, shit to make you feel shit. Dump him in the club, shit. Have you out and out when bump this. Drugs to your ears from the war uncut. Have a nigga OD, cause it's never enough. Yo, it's the real shit, shit to make you feel shit. Dump him in the club, shit. Have you out and out when bump this. Drugs to your ears from the war uncut. Have a nigga OD, cause it's never enough. Hot damn hole, here we go again. Light as a rock, bitch, hard as a cop, bitch. This shit not for blocks, do hard tops in the parking lot. Where my nigga rock, like the fog a lot. My book launched out, speak for itself. Like a wrestler, another notch under my belt. The embezzler, chrome treasurer, the UNO competitor. I'm 10 steps ahead of ya, I'm a leader, yeah, I'm some following shit. Coming in this game on some modeling shit. Bitch, just suck cock just to get to the top. I put 100% in every line I drop. It's the Q to the B with the M O B B. Queensbridge, Brooklyn, and we D double E P. What? Yeah, wish I lived a life I live. Yo, pride in me. Tell them what this is, done. Yo, it's the real shit. Shit to make you feel shit. Dump them in the club, shit. Have you out and out when you bump this. Drugs to your eardrum, the war uncut. Have a nigga OD, cause it's never enough. Yo, it's the real shit. Shit to make you feel shit. Dump them in the club, shit. Have you out and out when you bump this. Drugs to your eardrum, the war uncut. Have a nigga OD, cause it's never enough.
I can never get enough of it. Yo, that's my shit. I need that shit to boost my adrenaline. You rock that shit, that real life shit. Makes bitches wanna thug it, makes the projects love it. You come through like fuck it. Yo, want problems, pursue it. Let's do it. Infamous small bosses. Check out the portrait at the round table. My thun speaker with his twin ghost. It's gangsta how we rock. While you watch, attracted to our style. This is how we get down. With big jewelry and big guns, we get busy, it get grisly. Beat niggas bloody, twist niggas frontin'. Get the running. For the men's get the jumping, the fans get the thumping. MOBV got the whole spot jumping. When my niggas step in the place, damn, you gotta love it.
The real shit, shit to make you feel shit. Dump them in the club, shit. Have you out and out when bump this. Drugs to your ears from the war uncut. Have a nigga OD, cause it's never enough. Yo, it's the real shit, shit to make you feel shit. Dump them in the club, shit. Have you out and out when bump this. Drugs to your ears from the war uncut. Have a nigga OD, cause it's never enough.
Real. Real thing. Hip hop, hip hop, hip hop.